That's My Jesus, I Love Thee, hymn 84. And we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth. Let's stand. William Featherstone wrote the incredible words, "To my Jesus, I love thee." Don't you love him this morning, church? I know that's why you're here. Praise the Lord. First, second, and fourth. Sing it to the Lord.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the faults of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior.
Seated, church. What a blessing. That, what a day that'll be. Amen. We'll see him face to face indeed. Oh boy. I'm so glad he purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. Second stanza says. I'm so glad I love him for wearing the crown of thorns upon his brow. I'm so glad that on October 3rd in 1986, I found him. Amen. Rather, he found me and I got saved and born again. Glory to God. What a Savior we serve, folks. Nothing like knowing your sins are forgiven. Nothing like knowing you're on your way to heaven. Nothing like knowing you're a child of the King. Because, folks, the world is getting worse and worse and worse. Oh, boy. Turn on the news. It's nothing but bad news. But there's good news for you and me. Jesus is coming soon. We'll sing again afterwards, beloved. Let's grab our Bibles at this time. And open up to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel this morning. Matthew, Mark. What comes next?
Luke
and John. And go to Luke chapter 4. For our Sunday morning message, I want to call your attention in Luke chapter 4, to an amazing passage concerning the power of Jesus. Amen? I'm so glad he is omnipotent. I'm so glad that my Savior can handle any problem I come against in my life. I'm so glad that he is almighty, El Shaddai, the Son of the living God. Amen? In Luke chapter 4, The Lord Jesus is baptized in chapter 3 in the Jordan River by John Baptist. After his baptism, he immediately is led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God to be tempted of the devil. How long? 40 days and 40 nights. He next comes, he defeated him with the sword of the Spirit. It is written, it is written, it is written. Amen. And the devil fled from him. And he next comes into Galilee, preaching the gospel in all their synagogues. He then travels to Nazareth, where he is rejected and cast out of the synagogue. Cast out of the city of Nazareth. He's Jesus of Nazareth, but they cast him away. A lot of people do that today. They cast Jesus away from their lives. And now we find him here in chapter 4 in Capernaum, where he is confronted by a man who is demon-possessed. And he had, as you'll see, as we read this text, he had multiple demons in him. But Jesus comes along. Amen? Look with me in Luke chapter 4. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning in Luke chapter 4. We'll pick up the text in verse 31. Luke 4, 31. And he, Jesus, came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine. For his word was with what?
Power.
In the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed, and spake amongst themselves, saying, "What a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Beloved, I want to preach to a message this morning I've entitled, "The Power of Jesus Manifested." The power of Jesus manifested. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the power of Jesus manifested in the synagogue at Capernaum. Lord, how we thank you that that same Jesus and that same power is active in the world today. Lord, I thank you that we know that it takes the power of Jesus to deliver one from the devil. It takes the power of Jesus to deliver one from the world, the flesh, and the sin. The penalty of sin. We thank you that the power of Jesus is available to every human being today, as it was to this poor demon-possessed man in the synagogue. Father, we just ask you to bless your word today. Help us to learn from this text what the power of Jesus manifested is all about. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And the people said, Amen. Amen. Please be seated, beloved. Here we have a graphic description of a spiritual confrontation between the Son of God and the demons of Satan. In chapter 4, it basically comes down to the fact that Jesus has a wonderful opportunity to make known his divine power in a public setting. Amen? How many of you knows he loves to do that? Jesus will make his power known in a public situation. Now notice that they were not all God's people that attended the synagogue service. Yeah, you see that? They weren't all God's people. Because they all didn't believe. One of them was possessed of the devil. You know that when you come to church, not all the people are God's people, usually. Usually you got some people that haven't come to Jesus yet. This was the case here in the synagogue. The devil was amongst them in the church. A lot of times the devil shows up to church before you or I do. Hey, we got to pray him out, amen? Listen. If it were not for Jesus being in that synagogue at that time, this poor man would have left the service still in bondage to the devil, still having no hope of deliverance, and still on his way to a burning hell. Hell is real, folks. They've air-conditioned hell today. There's no preaching on hell anymore, but it's a real place with real fire, and people really go there for rejecting Jesus. I want to speak to you today a message I've entitled, "The Power of Jesus Manifest." Let's examine a few things here. First, notice the enemies of Jesus and what they say. Notice the enemies of Jesus and what they say. Look with me at verse 33. Verse 33 we read, "And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now notice here, the first enemy we find in our text is the spirit of the unclean devil within the man. Notice that in verse 34. The devil was present. How many of you knows the devil is the enemy of Jesus? And he is your enemy because you love Jesus. You see? Now, the second enemy is the man himself. Because this man had at some point in his life given ground to the devil to take over. You know, folks don't become demon-possessed by accident. They give place to the devil, and the devil just invades, you know. The devil will always look for an open door. That's why we need to keep the doors shut and locked in Jesus' name. Notice what they say to Jesus. First, four things. First, they acknowledge his deity. Look at verse 33. First of all, the enemies of Jesus acknowledge his deity. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had the spirit of an unclean devil, a demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. You know what that demon is doing? He is confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is confessing that Jesus Christ is deity manifest in the flesh. God with us. The devil, how many of you knows this morning, the devil has more sense than a lot of people. Because the devil knows who Jesus is. A lot of people don't. And a lot of people, listen, he confessed who he was. He says, you're the whole, look at it, verse 34, the Holy One of God. This term, the Holy One of God, this is an Old Testament terminology for the Messiah. The Holy One of Israel. He would be the Son of God manifest in the flesh, the Messiah. This is what they say. First, they acknowledge his deity. Second, what else do they say? They question his mission. Look at verse 34, saying, Let us alone. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Art thou come to destroy us? Listen, folks. In Luke 19, verse 10, don't turn there. The Bible says, The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's not come to destroy. The devil here accuses Jesus of coming to destroy people's lives. He's a liar. He comes to save their lives. He comes to give them abundant life. He comes to love and forgive people. The devil questions his mission. He's still doing that today. He puts false thoughts in people's minds concerning Jesus, which are not true. Jesus loves you. I don't care who you are and what you've done today. He loves you. And he wants to be the central point of your life. The devil wants people to question the mission of Jesus. Thirdly, what else do they say? They shun his presence. Look at verse 34. The enemies of Jesus always shun his presence, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Now, folks, notice here that the separation that exists between the darkness of Satan and the light of Jesus is a great separation. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. The enemies of Jesus say, Leave us alone! Leave us alone in our sin. Leave us alone in our pig pen. Leave us alone in the mud. Don't step on our lifestyle, Jesus. We don't want you coming and interfering in our lives. This is what the enemies of Jesus say. They shun his presence. Job 21:14 says, Depart, Job says, this they say, Depart from us, O God, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. How sad. How sad that people in the world today will shun Jesus' presence. Tell, I don't want anything to do with you, Jesus. That was me. That was me before October 3rd in 1986. I didn't want Jesus in my life. I didn't want to hear the Bible. I didn't want anybody messing up my sinful lifestyle. But one day Jesus came along and he gave me a life worth living. Amen? He brought joy and peace to my soul. I'm so thankful for it. What else do they say though? Fourthly, they seek rest in their sins. Look at it. Verse 34, saying, Let us alone. Most people say this, though not verbally, to Jesus Christ. Let us alone. Trying to witness to a guy at work, I don't want to hear it. You know, let us alone. We're happy and we're happy the way we are. We don't need Jesus coming in bothering us in our lives. They seek rest in their sins. Listen, by nature, man is content in his sins. They cry out against the authority of Jesus Christ in their life. My supervisor back in New York, Gary, at the diaper service, every time I tried to witness to him and lead him to the Lord, he'd say, "Leave me alone." Sound familiar? Let us alone. He'd say, "Leave me alone. I'm happy the way I am, and I'm not going to change for anybody, including God." That's what he would say. "Leave me alone." Listen, Gary enjoyed his drinking and his womanizing, and he refused to give up even for Jesus Christ. You know what happened to Gary? The last time I witnessed to him, 30 days later, he was in the grave. Wow. He died of lung cancer. Wow. Boom! Came on like that, and he was gone into eternity. Beloved, you know what? That's a sad story, but true. Because most people go through their lives saying, "Leave me alone, Jesus. I don't want you in my life." This is exactly what the enemies of Jesus were saying here. Something else, though, this morning. Notice the power of his word. Notice the power of Jesus' word. Verse 35. "And Jesus rebuked him," the demon, "saying, 'Hold thy peace and come out of him.'" Woo! I like it. Jesus tells the devil to shut up. Amen? Isn't that good? I'm so glad that Jesus has the authority to shut the devil up. When he's whispering those lies in your ear, Jesus says, "Shut up, devil. He's going to listen to me. She's going to listen to me in my word." Listen now. I'm so glad today that when Jesus Christ opens his mouth, the devils pay attention. They fear him opening his mouth, folks. That's because of the power of his word. He speaks as one having authority, not as the scribes and Pharisees speak. His word has a twofold effect. First, it's a convicting word. It's a convicting word. Look at verse 35. "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace.'" Hold thy peace. Listen, the first work of Jesus Christ is to silence the sinner. Amen? He brings us to a point by convicting us of his Holy Spirit of our sin where we shut up. And Paul put it this way in Romans 3, down around verse 21, "that all the world may become guilty before God." That all the world may become guilty before God. See? That's why the law was given. To shut us up with our self-righteousness and realize we're guilty. It's a convicting word. The word of Jesus Christ brings this heart-piercing conviction to the soul of the sinner. But secondly, it's a converting word. I like that. It's a converting word. Look at verse 35. "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace and come out of him.'" Come out of him. Listen carefully, beloved. Here is the gospel of salvation. When Jesus commands the devil to depart from one's life and replaces it with his Holy Spirit, a new birth takes place in that soul. That person is born again. Amen? That soul had been in bondage to the devil, and now Jesus casts the devil out of that person's life. And he takes over. Amen? Why? Because it's a converting word. It's a converting word. When you come to Jesus, he tells the devil, "Get out of that life. Get out." Kicks him out. He's gone.
He's evicted.
Not saying he won't harass you, but yeah.
He's evicted.
Well, he's evicted. That's right. Evicted. Not saying he won't harass you, but he can't come back in. Amen? Why? Because Jesus is in you now. His Holy Spirit rules and reigns within. Glory to God. I love that. That soul that had been in bondage is now set free, D.L. Moody said, and I quote, "As the battle of Armageddon reaches its climax, when it seems mankind is about to become extinct, Jesus Christ comes down from heaven. The armies of the Antichrist turn their weapons against the Son of God, but all in vain. For out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, which destroys all opposing forces. It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Thus, just a word from Jesus Christ's mouth eliminates all earthly dominions, and he alone is King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Moody was right. Just a word from Jesus and they're going down. Amen. He speaks the word and boy, oh boy, the devil is defeated. I'm so glad that he speaks the word in your life, the devil is defeated. Amen. It's downright personal, isn't it? But something else. Not only what they say, not only the power of Jesus' word. Thirdly, observe the work of the devil. Don't miss this. Notice the work of the devil here in verse 35. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had what?
Thrown
him in the midst. Notice here the significance of the words. The devil threw him down in their midst. Here is a great truth revealed, church, that the devil only seeks to harm and destroy man. See that? He threw him down, trying to hurt him. The devil wants to hurt people. The devil wants to destroy people's lives. And he does a good job, doesn't he? Two things we learn from this verse. First, that the devil does not let go without a fight. Amen? Did you hear what I said, church? He don't let go without a fight. Jesus comes along, tells the devil, get out of him, and the devil does what? Boom! Throws him on the ground. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of a lost sinner coming to Jesus, and the devil doesn't want to let go. You know, I want to keep him down. I want to hold him under the water till he chokes to death, you know? That's what the devil wants to do, is get you down, throw you down, and keep you down. Now, he's trying desperately to hold on to this poor man's soul. He knows Jesus is about to take possession of it. You mark it down, church. When Jesus is trying to draw a poor lost soul out of the gutter of sin, the devil is going to resist that by telling him, it's okay, you don't need Jesus. Stay with me. Stay in your sin. You'll be okay at the end. He'll forgive you. Don't worry about it. See, the devil doesn't like to let go. Secondly, we learn that the devil attempts to render us useless to God by throwing us down if we do get saved. Look at it. Verse 35. And when the devil had thrown him in their midst, he tries to throw us down by tempting us to sin. He tries to throw us down by getting us out of church. He tries to throw us down by getting us out of the Bible. He tries to throw us down by getting us not to pray. He tries to throw us down by isolating us from God's people. See? Why? Because he wants to render us useless to God. He wants to make us unable to serve the Lord. And he has 1,000 methods of doing it. I remember back in Bible college, there was one of the guys that were preparing to become a missionary to Spain. He was going to take his wife and 3 kids to Spain to preach the gospel, starting a new church. Well, for some strange reason, this fellow decided to purchase a single family home in Rochester, New York, where we went to Bible college. Sure enough, when it came time for him and his family to leave for Spain, he couldn't sell the house. For 4 long years, he couldn't sell the house. Until finally he had to take a huge loss and just count his loss and go to Spain. He went, but just think, how many souls could have been saved in those 4 years that he wasted? That's what the devil does. He doesn't want you to go all the way for Jesus. He wants to hold you down. He wants to weigh you down so you don't go to the mission field, right? Then fourthly, this morning, admire the victory of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 35. Admire the victory of Jesus Christ. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. He tried to hurt him, but he hurt him not. Amen? Why? Because of the victory of Jesus. Listen, folks. Despite the devil's attempt to kill this man, he was totally unharmed because of the presence of Jesus. When an unclean devil hears the word of Christ, he must obey and flee. Hear what I said? He must obey Jesus' word and flee. Look at Luke chapter 8. Hold your place in chapter 4. We're coming back, right back. Luke chapter 8. I'm so thankful for the victory that Jesus brings to the life of this man. Luke chapter 8. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 apostles were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him, Jesus, of their substance. What do I see here? I see here that Jesus brought victory to all their lives. Amen? You see that crowd in verse 1 through 3? What are they doing? They're ministering to Jesus. Why? He brought victory to their lives. It says Mary Magdalene alone had seven demons in her. Jesus cast them all out. And here she is at his feet serving him. Amen. I'm so thankful for the victory of Jesus in my life that I can serve him now. I'm free. Amen. The devil has no more hold over me. Jesus set me free and I can serve him. Glory to God. I'm so thankful. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." Victory comes through Jesus, folks. This man, listen, folks. This man's victory over the devil could not come from the local hospital. It could not come from Dr. Phil or Dr. Laura. It could not come from a bottle of medicine, or self-help book, a guru, or a psychiatrist, or a hypnotist. Anything else in this world has to offer cannot deliver after this sort. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. He could have had the best surgeon, the best doctor, the best medicine, the best hospital. It wouldn't have helped him a bit. He'd still be demon-possessed. It takes Jesus Christ, amen, to bring victory to the life. But quickly, something else I want you to see this morning. Notice the reaction of the onlookers. I like this. Notice the reaction of the onlookers, verse 36. And they were all what?
Amazed.
Wow. Total amazement was the reaction of the crowd. Why? Because Jesus Christ worked a miracle for this man. They knew this guy had a problem. They knew he was demon-possessed. But look at verse 36. And they were all amazed and spake amongst themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out." Folks, listen to me. People will stand in amazement when they behold the incredible transformation that takes place in the life of that soul that he rescues from the devil and sin. Amen? You know it's true. Because people you know are amazed at the change in your life, Mark. They're amazed at the changes that are taking place in your lives. Transforming power through Jesus' word. And they're amazed. They say, "Boy, I know that fella. I know that gal. I know how they used to live. And look at them now, a child of God. Preaching the word, witnessing to people." It's an awesome thing to see, beloved. The change that Jesus makes. It's amazing. Beloved, here's a sad thought to consider. It is possible, listen to me. It is possible to be amazed at the authority and power of Jesus Christ and yet not be amended thereby personally. What did I say? I said you can see Jesus work miracles in other people's lives and you never be affected. You never get touched. You never see Jesus work in your life. Why? Because you're just a spectator. If you're just watching in amazement and not participating, you're not going to see Jesus work in your life. Some of these people saw Jesus work and they never came to him. They never came to him. Why? I'm afraid that far too many people see the power of Jesus Christ working in the lives of others, but never experience his life-changing power and love for themselves. We need to taste and see, Peter said, that the Lord is good. Amen? That's personal. That's downright personal. I remember a woman in our church back in New York. Her husband was the song leader. This is a true story. Listen. Her husband was the song leader of our church. His name was John Monstream. Miriam's eyes just perked up. She knows what I'm about to tell you. John Monstream loved the Lord. Spirit-filled Christian, Bible-believing Christian. He led the music for our church. His wife, Julie Monstream, you can look this up on Google. She'd sit in the first pew, in the first chair, right in front of the pulpit. Every service. She'd sing the song. She'd carry the King James Bible. She'd put money in a plate. You know what that gal did? Listen to me. She'd sit in the front pew every single service, and it comes to find out that woman was having an affair with a man she worked with at the mall. Okay? Now listen, it gets worse. She planned to run away with this man, leaving John, her husband, and two little girls with John for John to raise. She's going to run off with this guy, right? So it comes to find out, instead of just running away with the guy, she plotted her husband's murder. With her lover. They killed him. She supplied the handgun to the guy and he blew John's brains out. John, yeah. You can Google this, folks. This is a true story. Our church song leader was shot in the head three times, died on the spot, and went to be with Jesus. You know what they did with her? She's still in the penitentiary today. Life without parole. But she made those two little girls orphans.
Yes, she did.
Why? Because the devil had control of that woman, not Jesus. She watched the people get saved. She sung the songs. She saw the amazing work of Jesus. But she never tasted it herself. She was a fake. She was an imposter. True story, folks. The reaction of the onlookers. Glory to God. But one last thing I want you to see and I'll be done. Notice the result of all this. Verse 37. The result of all this. And the fame of Jesus went out into every place of the country round about. Church, I love this. When the power of Jesus is manifested, the results will always be the same. The fame of Jesus will spread. Amen? Just ask a foreign missionary, Brother Dennis Anderson, and I quote, he has spent 30 years in Botswana, Africa, South Africa. Listen to his report I got recently. And I quote, Brother Oliver, we have had to pray continuously lately as the local witch doctors are attempting to kill my wife and I. Attempting to try to kill a missionary. They can't. He's surrounded by angels and they can't harm him. Listen, the gospel is spreading like wildfire throughout the bushlands now as we are reaching out further and further into the remotest areas of the jungle. We had a huge crowd last week at our annual tent revival meeting of over 5,000 souls. Hundreds of people came forward to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin. There were numbers of people from all surrounding tribes in attendance. Many said to me, and I quote, we have heard about Jesus' power over the spirits, demons, and came to learn more about him. Amen. Those folks know about the demon's possession. Yeah. And they said, we have heard about your Jesus, that he has power over the spirits. Brother Anderson, yeah, he does. You want deliverance from them? You got to come to Jesus. Amen. And a whole bunch of them, hundreds of them, got saved. My message today, this morning, is the power of Jesus manifested. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you today for the power of Jesus manifested. Lord, how we thank you that we're not playing church this morning, but that we experience and see the power of Jesus in this church. Lord, I'm so grateful that you are working in the lives of your people, and Lord, you are bringing others who need you to salvation through this little church. Oh God, we're so thankful that the power of Jesus is being manifested. We're so thankful for the website where the sermons are being broadcast all around the world. People are coming to Jesus because of his power and his word. We're so thankful for that this morning, oh God. But more personally, Lord, we're thankful that the power of Jesus has been manifested in our own lives. Lord, as far as I can see in this church this morning, everybody's saved. I'm so grateful that every person here has experienced the power of Jesus in their lives. They've been touched by the Master's hand, and they're not the same. They've been divinely transformed by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Father, I'm so thankful today that you're able to take the lowliest of the lowliest and bring them from the guttermost to the uttermost. I'm so thankful, Lord, that it doesn't matter what a soul has done. You can forgive them and wash them in the blood and give them the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful, Lord, that eternal life is your precious gift to the world. Whosoever will may come and take of the water of life freely and find the power of Jesus in their own lives. Lord, we pray that through this message, many precious souls, lost souls, souls that are in bondage to the devil and his demons, will come to Jesus, will come to feel the power of Jesus' word in their lives by being born again, by being saved by Jesus' blood, by being delivered and receive his Holy Spirit, oh God. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's stand. This morning we'll have a closing hymn of invitation. And it's an appropriate hymn. 270. Hymn 270. We're going to sing the first, the second, and the fourth. Aren't you glad that Jesus still saves? Man. It is so good to know that he is actively engaged today in saving souls around the world. And he will be till that trumpet blows and we get raptured out. 270, Jesus saves first, second, and fourth. Thank you, Lord. Aha! Went one too far, choir. There we go. Nope. Ah, I see why. There we go. To God. Great singing, church. And don't forget, this week, tell somebody that Jesus saves because of the power of Jesus manifested. Amen? Share it. The good news. We got the greatest news this world needs. Jesus Christ. Brother Cal, dismiss us in prayer. And don't forget, tonight, grab a coffee and pastry with us afterward. And tonight at 6 o'clock, if you can join us. Brother Cal.
Father, thank you once again for giving us the privilege of gathering to hear your word, Lord, and have your word preached to us, that you've blessed our preaching with the words you have imparted to us, Lord, that we can have an understanding of the great power that you are, and to know, Lord, that the devil has no consort or ability to act or react within your presence other than believe, Lord, because of the power of your word. We pray, Lord, that you'd walk with and guide us, you'd help each of us to understand that power, to walk with that power, and Lord, that you'd keep a hedge around all of us and keep us walking with you. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, people.